Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
It's summertime and we're continuing our series on living a flourishing life. And we're talking a little bit about work and some of the characteristics that help us grow in generosity this morning. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our bodies. We talked about relationships with other people. And how do we walk out this life with Jesus where we're really growing and transforming? So it isn't just about following a bunch of rules. We're finding this out as we're following Jesus, that it's not just about rules. It's about having a relationship with him. And that when we walk out relationship with him, it should impact us and do some change in our life. So one of the things I was thinking about was that it's summertime, and I started thinking about some of my first jobs, because it was in the summertime when I turned 16 that my parents said, it's time for you to get a job. I had done some babysitting before as a young girl, but it was time for me to go and try this all out. And right up the street from our house, we had a little deli, a little market. It was called Marketplace Meats. And when I was small, my brother and I used to bike up there and we'd get penny candy or ice cream cones. It was great. So when I was finally old enough for a job, it seemed perfect. It was just a couple of blocks away for me to go and get a job there. And what I loved about it the most was I learned quite a few things. I learned how to make potato salad. I'd never learned how to do that. I wasn't really much of a potato salad eater when I was young, but I learned how to like cube potatoes. I learned how to grill a hamburger. I learned how to do serve ice cream cones and give like that extra scoop of ice cream that would always make the kids excited, but the parents were not so excited. I learned a lot. So in our work lives, we can learn a lot. We learn a lot of valuable teaching tools. And at work is what we do. So I've learned a lot of things in my life throughout jobs. I've learned how to introduce myself to adults. Because when you're young, you have to, people who usually own businesses are adults. And when you're a kid, you're going to have to learn how to introduce yourself and talk with other adults. So I learned how to do that. I learned how to walk through an interview with the several jobs I've done. I've also learned all the things that you don't do in an interview. Those are a lot, too. That's a long list. There's a lot of valuable tools that we learn in jobs that teach us a lot of things, not just about work, but even in that context of work, we can learn what kind of person that we want to be. Because when we're in work, we're observing and we're seeing all kinds of different teams at play and how people navigate their lives together. And so I've worked with people who have shared their resources and their knowledge, a lot of things that helped me to grow. I've witnessed a lot of generosity. I've seen teams flourish and accomplish big goals when people are honest and hardworking and faithful in their leadership. So when I use this phrase, where do you work? I've used it a couple times, just the working thing. Let's just pause. I want you to think about what are the things that are coming up in your mind when I use the word work? Perhaps you're thinking about work that you're a job that you're going to regularly. Perhaps you're thinking about parenting if you're a stay-at-home parent. Perhaps you're thinking of a long list of tasks. I don't know if you're like me, I like a long to-do list. So maybe you're thinking of all the work you've got to do. It's summer, there's things to be done. Or maybe you're thinking of a big, huge goal that you really want to accomplish, and there are all kinds of things to get there. So there's all kinds of things that get stirred up when I use this word work. So I don't want you to run away from those things, because maybe you have a lot of positive feelings about work. Maybe you have some negative feelings about work. I want you to stay engaged with that, because the thing that we are going to talk a bit about is about generosity and how God is really activating that inside of our lives. So all of us work. And this idea of work is that we put our hands and our minds and our bodies and our energy into either acquiring or managing resources. That's really what work is. It's using our hands and our minds and our energy to acquire something that we need, like food or a house, or to manage the things that we have. So as I was spending some time just reading a little bit about work, there's a lot. You could take a long time to read about work. There are like some buzzwords that pop up when you're reading about business, an economy and things like that. And so there are just some of the words that popped up were leadership and synergy and drive and impact. These are all like big words that we often hear in work. But generosity is this understated and valuable trait. That the further on that I read that there might be these big things that and characteristics that are positive that people have in their life. But the longer lasting thing that keeps people either in a job or helps businesses to thrive is generosity. So I think about the first time I had to interact with generosity. I think a little bit about going back to being in the sandbox when I was a little kid. And you have your little favorite little sand toy. And then there's either your neighbor or your brother or your little cousin comes over and like rips that toy out of your hand. And the first thought when you're a small child isn't, oh, that's really great. Yeah, you should really use that bucket. I bet you need that. Your first thinking is, hey, that's fine. Give that back. And you start fighting over it. And then either a parent, grandparent, adult, some person was like, hey, let that go. You guys need to share. And some of us, that's kind of our first interaction with being generous is being told that we need to share. And we have that when we're small. There are some things that we need to learn from another person, right? But some of those childhood things, they have to grow up. And some of the things that we really want, we really need to develop and to change. So as we grow and we move up and we get out of that sandbox, we realize how much we've learned and received from the generosity of somebody else. So this goodness that we're talking about from the kingdom of God should be planting some generosity in us. And you probably have experienced it. People who are generous with you or areas in your life where you feel that you're very generous and able to be open and honest with others, that is a picture of the kingdom of God that's working in our lives. What we see is that generous employers and businesses, they encourage and they share their wealth of knowledge and their experiences. They put the people over the production. They invest in training and developing and nurturing the people that are around them. And people who are generous employees are amazing people to be able to work with because they're able to share and work together as a team. They're able to share ideas and credit. And they have this willingness to be able to rise and fall together, not just alienate something that went wrong. So we can see that generosity, even as I'm talking about this, think about some ideas or places in your life where you've experienced this with the things that you've done. But you know what? There's a shadow side. To every positive things that we have, these actions, there's some shadow side to generosity. Because oftentimes, if we're a very generous person and we're giving and we're giving and we're giving, eventually, we're going to burn out. That was another thing that I was reading about. There was actually a title of an article that called The Generosity Burnout. And that's this real thing that people who give and give and give get really tired and overworked. Or we can have our goodness exploited. If we're being generous and we're sharing, we feel like people often might take from us more than they're willing to give. And so what can happen is that instead of pushing in or stopping or creating some boundaries, we just stop the generosity altogether. And so as followers of Jesus, what are we asked to do? Are we supposed to just put a smile on our face and be like, well, I guess I just have to be generous. That's the way it's supposed to be. What is God actually inviting us into? What does it look like to flourish and to be generous-looking people? We're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told in Matthew 20. If you guys have a Bible with, you can turn to that. We're going to look at Matthew 20. We're going to look at verse 1 through 16, but we're going to pick it up together in verse 8. And what I love about this story is that when Jesus got together with people, he told lots of stories to explain things that were going on in the kingdom of God. And not too different from even now, who doesn't love a good story? Especially a good story that points at something in our own lives that we want to see grow or change. And so Jesus did this often. Throughout the Bible, we see that people would be gathering around him and asking him, what is this kingdom of God thing you keep talking about? What is this new thing that you say that you're doing? Can you explain it to us? And so this was one of the stories that he shared. It starts out with a man who owns a vineyard. And the man went out into the vineyard, and he knew that he needed some work to be done that day. And so he went out into the city, and he went to hire some people to come work in his field. So he went out early in the morning. He looked around. He's like, do you want a job? A couple of guys are like, yeah, I would love to work today. So he made an agreement with them. I will pay you a whole day's wage if you come and work in my field. The men look at each other. Sounds good to us. Handshake or whatever it is they did back in Jesus' time, and they went off to the field to work. So we see that this landowner doesn't just do it in the morning. He goes back several more times. He goes back into the town around 9, makes the same agreement. Do you guys want to work today? Absolutely want to work. I will pay you a full day's wage if you come to the field to work. They look at each other, make the agreement, and they go. He does it again at noon. He does it again at 3. He does it again at 5. It's the same exact agreement and arrangement. So let's pick it up in verse 8. This is Matthew 20, 8 through 16. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came in and received a denarius. So when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only an hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of the work and in the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Did not you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you so envious because I am so generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let's take a second here to pray together. God, I thank you that you speak to us through stories. And God, this stirs up stuff for us. So Father, we just engage with you right now. We know that you're present with us. And we receive your goodness right now. That you have something good for us even in this moment. Would you come and speak encouragement to our hearts this morning? In your name, amen. So that last line, what do you want me to do about this? Are you so envious because I am so generous? So Jesus here, he is reframing our work narrative because how we see God matters. When it comes to the context of our work, when it comes to the context of our own selves, the people around us, how we see God matters because it paints the picture for how we experience life. And our flourishing, the thing that allows us to have life and energy and God's peace running through our bodies, that thing starts to happen when we're allowing false narratives, broken stories to die off in our life, and we're allowing God to speak his truth to us. We really want to see this kingdom narrative where God's generosity flows freely through us. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the narratives that can help us reframe our story. Maybe some of the things that we're struggling with that aren't quite true about what we believe about God and what he's designed us to do. We see here in the story that God has really designed us to work. The story that Jesus told in this time was culturally relevant because there was a high unemployment rate in Jerusalem at that time. So there were men all over looking for work to do. So there's something about this landowner who went back over and over saying, "If you want to work, I will pay you." So even that story shouldn't be too hard for us to understand because we all know what it's like. If we want to work, if we want to be able to manage our resources or acquire things so that we can take care of our families or take care of ourselves, it's a big deal to be able to have a job and to be able to work. And so part of this is that God has designed us that way. It's not bad that we want to work. So we see this landowner who's doing this, and he's taking care of people around him and offering them work. So I want you to stop and think just a little bit about how God is in touch with our reality. He's not running from work. He's telling us that this is something that we're designed to do. Now, there's something about us putting our hands to work that is a part of our worship. It's something that God has designed us to do. And I know often on Sunday mornings, we had the couple up here this morning playing the guitar and singing, and we call that worship. It is. But really, worship is a bigger picture of us just being exactly who God created us to do and being who he created us to be. And so in that, when we are participating in doing the thing that God's designed us to do, that is worship. So it has a larger meaning for us. But something happens when we start to get invested in our work, which isn't bad. When we become parents, or you've gotten into a job where you're really passionate, you're excited about the things you're doing, or a project that you really love that you've gotten going on, a lot of times we start to kind of gain our identity in that thing that we are doing. Whether that's you're a teacher or a pastor or a leader of some kind, we can start to take on those things as we're growing in those giftings. We can take that on as that's the thing that's who I am. Or when we become parents, it might be the thing that we feel like, that's all I am. Am I just a mother? Am I just a father? Is that all that there is for me? And so there's something that Jesus wants to do in us and help us with our identity. And so as God moves in us, what we see is that our achievements do not equal our value. Our God doesn't require us to earn favor with him. And we don't have to earn favor by performing properly or perfectly within the kingdom. And sometimes we can love this idea of getting something that we don't deserve when it works in our favor. Like if we get something we don't deserve, somebody's graceful with us, or they give us something, like, wow, that's amazing. But what happens when somebody else gets something that you don't think they deserve? What does that stir up in you? And that's a bit of what this story did for me. As I was reading this week and studying over it, I've been working on this practice of just pausing whenever I'm feeling like a big emotion. If I'm feeling angry or sad, I just stop with it for a minute. And I was starting to feel like this fury. Do you guys ever have that kind of like that fury that kind of bubbles up in your belly about something? And so I put myself in the story. I'm like, okay, God, let's read through this story. And I want to help me understand, what is this feeling that I'm feeling? And I realized that I'm pretty much a rule follower. I really like rules. I like if you tell me where the boundaries are, when to be on time, when to leave. I love that. I love the container that has for me because there are expectations in that. But what the problem with this story for me that Jesus is working in through me is that I'm really offended by how generous the kingdom is. If the landowner is supposed to be a picture of God, and that God is generous with us all the time, no matter when we come to know him, when we experience him, then I have a problem with that. So I imagine myself standing and looking at the landowner, and when the landowner says, do I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Are you so envious because I am generous? And I would say, yes, I am absolutely envious of that. Because inside of me, I really want things to be fair, and this doesn't seem fair. So it's my own personal pain problem. I think that everybody doesn't get what they deserve, and this can make me really angry. And I found myself feeling angry with God, and I was angry with myself, and then angry with humanity. So what this is exposing is this false narrative that I have in my own life. There's this idea in my mind that says you should always be better. You should always work harder so that you can earn the thing. You can earn the love. You can earn the trust. And so when I started talking to Jesus about that, I'm like, okay, here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like I've got to work really hard, and I'm not working hard enough, and I need to earn this thing. And I felt like God just told me, well, of course you're not better. And that is not the goal. You're not loved or rejected based on your achievements. If this is true, that our achievements do not equal our value in the kingdom of God, then the thing that I need to accept or receive from God is that he's very generous, and that my love and my acceptance isn't based on me and what I'm able to produce or do, but that it's based on his goodness and his generosity and his kindness and his love towards me. So we see that the next thing, that our God, he operates in abundance and not in scarcity. What I was feeling was scarce in that moment as I'm reading that story, because it means that perhaps there aren't enough resources. Have you ever felt this way before or ever noticed this, that oftentimes we can feel like we're just short on things? We're short on time. We're short on money. Oftentimes our paycheck is spent before we even get it. We're short on the ability to have patience with the people around us. We might feel neglected or lonely. Things feel scarce. And often what we do in that isn't that we throw our arms wide open and say, okay, I'm ready for anything. Oftentimes what we do is we just kind of start to close in. Our grip starts to close in around those things, and we start to kind of acquire the resources and rally them in and protect them because they're going to run out. But the opposite is true in the kingdom of God, because God is fully abundant. He has everything. He has lots of it. So he doesn't operate in that kind of that close and protected, closing the hands around things. He opens them up. And so the thing is that God is really patient and generous because he knows this about us. He knows that we're going to look at things and kind of close our hands around them. So he operates and lives in this condition of generosity because his resources are never depleted. It says in John 17:10, Jesus is saying to his followers that all I have is yours. That this place that Jesus lives in, the place that he's inviting us into this flourishing, is that we live in a kingdom where everything that God created, everything that is good, is free and available for everybody. That there's plenty for us. So what do we do? If he's inviting us into this where a life of abundance, But what about the reality that there are things that are scarce in our lives? We have places like this in our life. What are some practical things we can do to walk this out with Jesus? How can we live generously? One of the first things we can do or continue to do is receive God's generosity towards us first. Oftentimes we think that we're going to have to do more for somebody else. I would say stop here. Similar to the thing that I was just saying that I did with the story, when you find yourself having a big emotional response or a feeling, stop in and check in with God on it. If you're feeling like you need to close your hand around something, stop and check in with God about it and receive his goodness and his generosity first. So we practice this thing of living open-handedly. It's the same way as if someone came to me with a birthday present and they handed it to me and I just kind of like stepped away from it. I'm not going to do that. If somebody comes to with a present for me, I'm going to step in, I'm going to put my hands open, I'm going to receive that from him. So if there are those places in your life where you're feeling scarce, you want to run away from it, or you need something from God, practice that idea of even opening your hands to him in generosity. And this takes more than just our earthly ability to just like rally and do it. We need something supernatural from God in order to do that. We talked a little bit about supernatural last week, but this is where we're experiencing something good that we often can't see. It's something bigger and more mysterious than we can even imagine. It's that place where we imagine that faith lives, and that's what we're tapping into when we want to do open-handed living. And I would suggest practicing self-awareness. Oftentimes what can happen, and this can happen in the church, is that you feel like you need to give and give and give, and there shouldn't be a boundary. Jesus absolutely had boundaries. He had things that he stopped to do to take care of himself and care for the people around him. He spent a lot of time in prayer with his Father, asking God to set up those boundaries of how God wanted Jesus to spend his energy and time here on earth. And the same is true for us. Oftentimes we're giving so much without stopping to ask God or maybe even the people around us, is this good for us? Am I really practicing generosity, or am I moving to a place where I'm giving away something that I can't? It's okay to practice self-awareness. And spending time with God and walking in the flow with him allows us to be connected to his generosity. And then lastly, I would invite you to celebrate and repeat. At the end of every year, I take some time to do some reflection and answer some questions about what are the things that have been going on in my life. And one of the questions that came up this year was, who has been really generous with you, and how would you like to thank them? And so I stopped with that question for a while. I'm like, who's been generous with me? Because it's not often a word that I hear regularly, especially when I'm doing those kinds of questions. And so all of a sudden, God just started depositing a list of people throughout my life who've been really kind and generous. Whether it's something that they taught me, a skill that they taught me, whether it was a season in my life when I was having a really tough time and they came alongside of me and gave me some really gracious and loving correction. And so as I sat with that, I got a couple of names, and I remember God just saying, why don't you call that person up and thank them? Why don't you send them a little note? And so if there are some people, even as I'm talking, that you realize they've really been generous with you, I would encourage you to celebrate and even pass on that encouragement with them. There's something really powerful when we can do that in the context of a community together. Whether it's somebody in this past year or even 10 years ago that really showed you some generosity, it can really build up and give life and share life and value with others when we can share generosity together. There's so much more that we could talk about on this subject, but we're just going to pause right here, and I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me. We've talked a lot about God and his goodness, and how his goodness isn't just a thin layer of goodness, but it's something that's really deep and rich, and it affects every one of us. And that in God's kingdom, he has a lot for us. He's got an abundance for us. And so we're going to take some time to pray here. I'll pray for all of us together as a group. But if you want someone to come alongside you today and pray a little more with you, we're going to have our prayer team up here. And the people that are up here would love to come alongside you to listen to you and then point you to Jesus. They're not going to correct anything. They're not going to give you a therapy session, nothing like that. They really want to come alongside you and be a friend. So if that's something that you could use today as encouragement, I would ask you to do that before you leave today. But I'm gonna pray for us, because even as I was praying over this over this talk and reading these stories, I know that even the idea of generosity is a big deal for us. Whether we feel like we're a very generous person or we feel like perhaps we're not, it stirs up some things. And so let's just pause and recognize that with God and ask him to do the work that he wants to do in our lives. So why don't you close your eyes with me? We're just going to pray. So God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And I thank you that you are really generous with us. And God, I ask that in each one of us that you would show us what that generosity looks like. Not just about what we're supposed to do for other people, but what you are currently doing in our lives right now. Would you come and would you speak encouragement over our lives? Would you break off the places where we feel judged and where we feel like somebody has exploited our generosity? Would you come to my friends? And God, I do ask that as we grow as a church, that you'd make this a place where we're very generous with our love and our energy and our time. There are people who are open-handed and that we're willing to share, not just out of a to-do, but because that's who you've invited us to be. In your name, amen. I want to thank you guys for coming to service this morning and coming to the Cloquet Vineyard. You can stick around and grab another cup of coffee. We're going to do a little more worship here. If you want some prayer, you can receive it. Otherwise, have a lovely day.